Steve and Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about networking and finding business partners. This is a topic that we're both extremely qualified to talk about, Jill, because we found each other.
We did. And we created a huge network.
Yeah, and we separated our responsibilities successfully, so I hope you like your job.
Yeah.
I like my job description.
Most days.
Yours. Yeah.
Well, at the office, way more than at home, but we'll talk about that later. Just kidding.
For an entirely different show.
That's right. That's a different show. From the bedroom. Anyway.
Wow. Are you happy in the bedroom?
Apparently, yes. Oh, am I just happy in general? Yes, you threw in the bedroom.
You said in the bedroom, Tourette's.
Thank you.
Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of the members on landinvestors.com online community. It's free. And as you're listening to us, please drop your questions into the comments section below.
Aaron asks, I have a seller who wants to sell me a large parcel of land they own in Apache County, Arizona. We would like to buy it. The seller is living overseas in Saudi Arabia and has for several years, although I believe they are U.S. citizens. How do I complete this sale? Has anyone used an online notary service for something like this? There are two people on the deed who will have to sign for the sale. Any advice on how best to handle this would be much appreciated. Thanks.
Well, the good news there is that they're in Saudi Arabia and not in, you know, in the Congo. Because you can find, believe it or not, American notaries in
countries
like that. There's a lot of Americans living in Saudi Arabia, specifically military people. So you're going to go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
I've had the situation, and it's one of those things that instead of, they usually already have an answer. They've already had to do some formal documents. They live there. Maybe for, if they bought some property or something there, it's usually they already have the solution. So my first advice is don't go down the path of trying to solve the problem for them yet, because it's probably not a problem. They, all you have to do is say, we need to do the equivalent of getting this, your signatures notarized here. How does it go in this country? Oh, that's easy. I already know I have to go to the consulate. There's a person
there. The embassy, yeah.
And they do it for us, and it's just like this because I'm on American territory at the time. I don't remember exactly how it worked out, but usually they already have a solution. So I would start there before I even start to try to solve it for them, because I don't want you to spend 4 hours and then you call the person and you say, I've got it all figured out, and they say, why did you do that? I got this.
Hey, for the record, citizenship doesn't matter. They don't need to be American citizens or not to execute deeds and own real estate or any of that stuff. So.
Right. So they own it. And so my understanding is, right, so the question is, they own it. They're selling it to him.
Right.
And they live in Saudi Arabia. And they're probably U.S. citizens.
Right.
I don't see this as a problem, and it's no big deal, and handle it like you normally would.
Yeah,
just get them to sign the document, and then the only other thing I would do in this situation, I don't really want to be overnighting, a cashier's check. Normally, I wouldn't do it in this situation. Normally, we work it out where once, you know, we got to be all comfortable with each other, and once we are, then I just wire the money.
Yeah, so, I mean, she's right. They probably already solved that, too. They've sent money back and forth, so...
Yeah. So.
Well said, Jill.
Thank you. Don't make it a problem. Don't make it a big deal, and it's probably not.
I don't remember ever having to deal with this personally.
Canada. So
I would have answered that question all wrong.
Well, remember, it was more, the most international transactions we did were Canada that came up. Not often.
Did you send cashier's checks up there, or did you just do a wire?
Then I did do it, because it was so close. I did do a regular overnight, arranged a Canadian notary, and it was because very similar to U.S.
Oh, okay.
So that I did kind of normal. But it's still, there's a few little different nuances because it's a different country.
That's a good unique questions.
And then we had to work out the dollar amount, you know, just make sure it's, you know, Canadian dollars, U.S. dollars.
Yeah.
Make sure we're on the same page, but no. It's not a big deal.
Today's topic, networking and finding business partners. This is the meat of the show. Boy, this is so important.
Oh, gosh.
This falls into that category of, you know, when you start out doing something, you think there's all this stuff that's going to be important and hard, and you're never right. It's all this, and then you never think about how this kind of stuff and how important it is and how easy it is to solve solutions with business partners. Jack Welch, I think his name is, who turned General Electric around in the 80s, 70s, 80s, maybe even 90s, wrote a book called Partnership. It's actually worth reading. I don't read a ton of books. I read that cover to cover. And the importance of surrounding yourself with people who know how to do stuff and partnershiping with the right people. It's way, way more efficient to own 50% of something and that, but never have to do the stuff you don't want to do ever again.
Right.
Then own 100% of it and be miserable all the time. And it's going to, in the end, you're going to grow faster business-wise and personally.
One of the things that I see people doing is trying to do this a little too soon. You don't say, I'm going to be an investor tomorrow and go find a partner. This partner, you haven't proven yourself yet. So I see this is kind of comes along. I notice it more in the second phase of your business. It's up and running. You figured it out. You know what you're good at. You know what you're not good at. So now you know the kind of partner that you're looking for. Number one, you got to figure that part out. And then number two, for the networking, people will take you serious when you already have a thriving business and you're ready to take it to the next level. And now this is going to, you know, catapult you both.
Right. You have to know what you need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in this business, you need analytical skill, core analytical skills. That's something we can't teach you.
Right.
You have to come to us with those analytical skills. And you also need to know how to talk to people. And then you need to, after you've done that, let's say 10 times, bought and sold 10 pieces of property, sent out a few mailers successfully, then you can really, this is what we teach you in Land Academy 2.0.
Right.
Then you can really take a step back, exactly what Jill just said, and say, you know, answering the phone's not for me, or I love to price property, but I'm not real thrilled about selling it or posting it on the internet. So the good news is that we have ready-made virtual assistants that we make available to everybody in our group that have done most of these tasks for us and for other members, so it's not super foreign to them. They get it.
Right.
But there's still a core, you still, as a business owner, have to be involved in what makes the thing successful from 35,000 feet.
Right. I brought this out into three parts, so now we know who, when you need to do this, what you already have done, and you have an idea of who you're looking for. So I have a who and a where and a how.
Oh, great, Joe.
This. Okay.
You're prepared.
I am prepared.
See how many notes I wrote for this?
Right, yeah. I'm looking. So, who should you be networking with? It should be like-minded people and from the same community. You're not going to go and hit up a toilet paper exec and say, let's do this real estate thing because you built your toilet paper empire. I'm sure we can do this over here. That's hard. You have to teach them your whole business model and how it all works and all the nuances. They got to do their own deals and fail on their own 10 times.
Yeah.
Or you don't want them failing on your dime now too.
Yeah.
Let's be smart about this. And that's what's so great about our community, which ties into the where. The next one is the where. And one of the things is, in an online community, like our land investors, like our meetings, like, meetups that people go to, other real estate events, you know, that's the where that you find them. And then finally the how for me is just pick up the phone or do an email and start the conversation. People don't do that. Isn't that funny? People will sit in the back of the room and know what they need and know that that person can help them, but they don't reach out.
There's two places that bottleneck most of our members, if not all of them. A sales lull. Sometimes you got to solve sales. And then the number two is, I ran out of money.
Yeah.
And so there's tons of people in our group that are expert salespeople at this.
Mm-hmm.
And there are also a lot of people in our group who love to asset-backed lend money against the actual asset. Not provide, venture capital, but if you needed $25,000 to buy a piece of property that everybody knows is worth 50,
right?
People come out of the woodwork trying to give you that 25 grand, which, by the way, is very efficient for them, and it's very efficient for you. Now you don't have to come up with the 25 grand. You sell it for 50. Everybody, you guys split the $25,000 of profit margin. Man, I'll tell you what, then you get a person in there who can sell it, and so you just buy it, but the other person's selling it, and you got three people just moving around and around and around like that.
Right.
You get a lot of stuff done, and everybody's happy with their role. So partnerships, you know, networking is the way to find business partners. I wrote this topic.
That's a good way to do it. Oh.
Because you don't have to do the stuff that you don't want to do. You only sit there and do one thing 100% of the time instead of spending 33% of your time raising money, 33% buying, and 33% selling.
Well, where I thought you were going with this, which I think is also brilliant, is like in your networking and you're finding business partners. So this happens with us. Like, we will do different transactions with different partners, right? Well, because some work out, some don't work out. So this is a great way for somebody to learn to do it. Do a couple deals with different people.
Yeah.
If you're looking for a long-term partner, because someone will rise to the top and you will just get it. You'll realize, oh my gosh, we work the best together. We don't even talk. He knows what needs to get done. I know what needs to be done. It's just seamless. Let's do even more together.
Yeah, here's how public accounting and consulting, still to this day, it still works, where you get great grades, you get recruited by a huge company for a really good salary, you work there for 2 years. The whole time you're working there, you're working for other clients. Almost all the time, you're not in that office. You're working in the office of other clients.
Okay.
Whether you're in the audit field or consulting or whatever, and all the time you're getting job offers.
Right.
You know, at some point, somebody's going to really click with you, one of these clients, and you're going to accept that job offer. It's the same thing with finding a partner. It's, you know, you shouldn't ever marry the first girl you kiss.
I knew it. It always comes back to that. Why does it always come back to that?
You can marry her, but make sure you kiss a bunch of other girls first, and then go back.
Ah.
If she'll have you, and she won't, trust me.
Yeah, no. That ship has sailed.
Jill has a whole long list of guys that have come back after they went back out there and just came
Why
back
did
and
that
said,
keep
you know,
happening?
It turns out you're the best girl ever.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Like,
so I moved on.
Good luck.
Sorry. It's funny. I'm like, I tried to tell you.
Well, you've done it again. Spent another 15 minutes or so listening to the Land Academy show. Join us next time where we discuss Land Academy Live, just for the fun of it.
Share the fun by hitting the subscribe button to stay up to date on our podcast, or if you are new to our channel, like us and comment on what you would like to see in future shows. And if you're listening on iTunes, please rate us there.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. You are not alone.
You brought that up. I can't believe you brought that up.
You are not alone in not being able to read the teleprompter.
No, that's good. You are not alone at driving your staff nuts with changes. I'm just kidding. It's kind of for both of us. It's not you.
Our marketing staff changed the script, and they just said, oh, by the way, we made a bunch of changes to the script. And
I personally like it.
Good luck. Yeah, I do too.
It's not like they threw commercials in there. I'm like, thank you. So it's just kind of, let's all.
I really like when our staff does stuff and then they tell us afterward, especially after it's working.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying, hey, what do you think about this?
Yes. Just do it.
Yeah. Just do it.
Share the fun by subscribing on iTunes and YouTube. And while you're at it, rate us there.
We are Steve and Jill. Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.